through hiking the Ice Age Trail. All 1,200 miles of it is a feat. Doing it in winter, that's even more impressive. Emily Ford was the first woman of color documented to do just that. She's a backpacker and head gardener at Glensheen Mansion in Duluth, Minnesota. WPR talked with her while she was actually on the Ice Age Trail back in 2021. After crossing the finish line, she went on to plan and complete another winter expedition, this time in the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. She was on UW-Madison's campus the last few days to screen documentaries that followed both those adventures. The documentaries are called Breaking Trail and A Voice for the Wild. I talked to her yesterday here in the studio. Now, when you last talked to Wisconsin Public Radio, it was when you were still on your way to completing that entire Ice Age Trail in the winter. Let's pick up there. What was it like to actually cross that finish line?
That's crazy. I think I remember my interview, and I remember sitting on my backpack in the middle of the woods and being like, I hope my service is okay. Can you hear me all right? But it was amazing crossing the finish line. As it is for a lot of through hikers, you hit this moment of, wow, I'm done. I'm so excited. And, oh boy, I'm done. Who am I? You know, there's this mix of feeling of being excited, being done, and really going to miss the trail once you're back home.
Now, with this hike and others you've done, other through hikes, you've talked about your adventuring being a contribution to the racial justice movement. Can you connect the dots for people?
Yeah, and it wasn't really an afterthought, but it was like, it was a really good way of seeing puzzle pieces fit together of, this is how I can show up for people of color. This is how I can show up for people of color in the outdoors. This is a way that I can be my true self in a time when race and racism are really, and anti-racism are really on the tips of a lot of people's tongues. I'm not the most vocal political speaking person, but I always tell people that if I can show you what I'm doing and be a face and be a representative, and then bring it back home and talk to these, you know, groups of kids, or just go out and do talks and talk about my, you know, my experiences in the outdoors as a person of color, that experiential way is a way that I really love showing up.
Yeah, that's part of what you're doing, I think, with your hikes and your documentaries here, being kind of an ambassador to two groups, I'm guessing, to younger people of color, to say, yeah, we can be out in the outdoors, and to everybody else saying, hey, let's make this a welcoming place for everyone. Do I have that about right?
Yeah, for sure. And having it be actually really, really normal for people of color to be outside. I always like to say, like, I'm really ready for the day when I am kind of obsolete in this, where I don't go around and talk about being a person of color in the outdoors, where Emily is old news and there's been tons of other people who have done expeditions who are people of color. I'm super excited for the day that I become obsolete and that so many people have so many more stories to tell, and that it's not really that the limelight is equal to when anybody else goes out and does expeditions, that they're just really cool trips people are doing. And, that there's just a human doing it. You're like, you're also a black person. That's super awesome. But there's also a million other black people now hiking, so you're not as cool as it used to be. Those are the days I'm really, really excited for.
Now, both your documentaries, you got Breaking Trail and then A Voice for the Wild. These aren't just through hikes. These are winter through hikes. I like getting out in the winter for an hour, maybe. What is it about the winter and that long-term trip that is an adventure for you?
Yeah, winter and I really started to become acquaintances more so because I get laid off in the winter from my job. I'm the head gardener at Glensheen in Duluth, Minnesota. And in the winter, oddly enough, contrary to maybe popular belief, there's not much gardening to be done for that specific estate anyway in the wintertime. So that's kind of how winter and I became acquaintances. And I started hiking when I moved to Duluth, you know, a little bit longer hikes. I'd done the Superior Hiking Trail. It's 360 some odd miles maybe now, and you kind of get the taste of distance hiking. And for lots of through hikers, the 1,000 miles is really like your first, are you going to do this or are you not going to do this? And the Ice Age Trail was kind of what the option was. And then I really fell in love with long distance movement by my own power, or plus with a dog power also.
Now, your trip to Madison that brought you into our studio here is for A Voice for the Wild, the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. Can you talk a little bit about that trip?
Yeah. Oh, man. For those of you who've never been to the Boundary Waters, it is a beautiful million-acre strip of land between Minnesota and Canada. And it is a space that is wild, and is wild because we protect it, right? So there's a lot of land that is rich with resources, and people have been wanting those resources for a long, long time. And this was, again, a way that I could put my name in the hat of how do I show up for places and people that I really care about. And so, yeah, I got to ski across it. It was 180 miles ski with my dog Diggins, which people met from the Ice Age Trail. And to show up in a season that people kind of maybe forget that the Boundary Waters exist. There's a niche group of people, a lot of mushers, a lot of fishers, who use the Boundary Waters in the wintertime. But for most people, they are planning their canoeing trips. And I love showing that this place that we love, that people are still working to protect, still exists in the wintertime. And it's really important that we remember this place exists in the wintertime.
Now, for somebody listening thinking, okay, I'd like to do a winter trek. Maybe I'm not going to go 1,000 miles or 100 miles, but you know, a decent outdoor trek. What kind of things do you encourage them to do to start planning for something like that?
Yeah, the question is, are you going to sleep outside? Are you just going to... You want to walk outside? Do you want to hike outside? A few things is that people maybe, if they're really new to this, that I've been talking about a lot, is your layering system for your clothes. I always like to describe it as you are a flaky biscuit, and it's nice. You want the layers of thin clothing. So I wear a lot of wool, a lot of merino wool that I can get my little hands on. And then that's the biscuit part, and the warm air that's trapped in between each layer is like the delicious butter that we all love in those biscuits, and it makes for a really nice way to stay warm outside, because one of the biggest things, you don't want to be soaking wet with sweat, because all of a sudden you're having such a good time hiking and enjoying the outdoors, and you're sweating, and you're like, how did this happen? It's minus 20 outside, and it just does happen. So, you know, build up your layers. You don't have to have a huge puffy coat to go hiking in the wintertime. Bring your water with you. Treat it just like a summer hike. Bring your water with you. Bring food with you if you're going to do something for long. If you're going to go somewhere where is a little bit more remote, let people know where you're going. Also, think about how deep is the snow. Do you need a snowshoe? Go ahead and grab some snowshoes. If you've never done that before, there's tons of places around that will bring you out for snowshoe hikes. I'm sure on campus here, they will happily take you out snowshoeing around these places. And if your body doesn't quite move like that, keep poking around and you will find boardwalks that are cleared. And because that's the other thing, is that you don't have to go into these backcountry places to enjoy the winter and enjoy the outdoors. The biggest thing that I always say is, did you get to breathe non-recycled air today? Did you get to breathe air that wasn't coming straight out of the tailpipe of a truck that's going by you? Can you get somewhere that is a little bit out that you can take in the air and maybe hear a few birds or hear the cracking of the ice or hear the snow beneath your feet? That's really what it starts at. You don't have to be an expeditioner to enjoy the winter.
And do you have a next adventure in the planning stages or in the dreaming stages right now?
There's always something coming down the pipe. Next winter, I think I will be hiking the Superior Hiking Trail back in my hometown, and a few other trails connect that. Maybe about 500 miles total is what I'm looking for. But I have to get back out to Alaska. I lived in Alaska this past winter. My partner's getting ready for Iditarod, and so we have to get I'm going to be out there helping getting the dogs ready for the 1,000-mile dog race from Willow to Nome.
Wow.
So that will be next winter. And then after that, really, the sky's the limit. You know, there's always an adventure on the horizon.
Emily, thanks so much for sharing your adventures with us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
That was Emily Ford, a backpacker and thru hiker in Duluth, Minnesota. She joined me in the studio yesterday. She was on the UW-Madison campus talking about two documentaries that chronicle her expeditions completing the Ice Age Trail and crossing the Boundary Waters during the winter. Those documentaries are called Breaking Trail and A Voice for the Wild. If you are a thru hiker and or a winter hiker, love to hear about your accomplishments. Let us know over on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@WPR.org.